standing near him when I stopped speaking. I just saw a man die. I was so close to him, his blood is on me. I moved to this city to be invisible, but I am certainly not impenetrable. It's something I've been working on, attempting to become as hardened as the concrete beneath my feet. It hasn't been working out so well. I can feel everything I just witnessed settling in my stomach. I cover my mouth with my hand, but pull it away quickly when I feel something sticky on my lips. More blood. I look down at my shirt. So much blood, none of it mine. I pinch at my shirt and pull it away from my chest, but it sticks to my skin in spots where the blood splatters are beginning to dry. I think I need water. I'm starting to feel lightheaded, and I want to rub my forehead, pinch my nose, but I'm scared to touch myself. I look up at the man still gripping my arm. Is it on my face? I ask him. He presses his lips together and then darts his eyes away, scanning the street around us. He gestures toward a coffee shop a few doors down. They'll have a bathroom, he says, pressing his hand against the small of my back as he leads me in that direction. I look across the street at the Pantom Press building I was heading to before the accident. I was so close, 15, maybe 20 feet away, from a meeting I desperately need to be in. I wonder how close the man who just died was from his destination. The stranger holds the door open for me when we reach the coffee shop. A woman carrying a coffee in each hand attempts to squeeze past me through the doorway until she sees my shirt. She scurries backward to get away from me, allowing us both to enter the building. I move toward the women's restroom, but the door is locked. The man pushes open the door to the men's restroom and motions for me to follow him. He doesn't lock the door behind us as he walks to the sink and turns on the water. I look in the mirror, relieved to see it isn't as bad as I'd feared. There are a few spatters of blood on my cheeks that are beginning to darken and dry, and a spray above my eyebrows. But luckily, the shirt took the brunt of it. The man hands me wet paper towels, and I wipe at my face while he wets another handful. I can smell the blood now. The tanginess in the air sends my mind whirling back to when I was 10. The smell of blood was strong enough to remember it all these years later. I attempt to hold my breath at the onset of more nausea. I don't want to puke, but I want this shirt off me, now. I unbutton it with trembling fingers, then pull it off and place it under the faucet. I let the water do its job while I take the other wet napkins from the stranger and begin wiping the blood off my chest. He heads for the door, but instead of giving me privacy while I stand here in my least attractive bra, he locks us inside the bathroom so no one will walk in on me while I'm shirtless. It's disturbingly chivalrous and leaves me feeling uneasy. I'm tense as I watch him through the reflection in the mirror. Someone knocks. Be right out, he says. I relax a little, comforted by the thought that someone outside this door would hear me scream if I needed to. I focus on the blood until I'm certain I've washed it all off my neck and chest. I inspect my hair next, turning left to right in the mirror, but find only an inch of dark roots above fading caramel. Here, the man says, fingering the last button on his crisp white shirt. Put this on. He's already removed his suit jacket, which is now hanging from the doorknob. He frees himself of his button-up shirt, revealing a white undershirt beneath it. He's muscular, taller than me. His shirt will swallow me. I can't wear this into my meeting, but I have no other option. I take the shirt when he hands it to me. I grab a few more dry paper towels and pat at my skin, then pull it on and begin buttoning it. It looks ridiculous, but at least it wasn't my skull that exploded on someone else's shirt. Silver lining. I take my wet shirt out of the sink and accept there's no saving it. I toss it in the trash can, and then I grip the sink and stare at my reflection. Two tired, empty eyes stare back at me. The horror of what they've just witnessed have darkened the hazel to a murky brown. I rub my cheeks with the heels of my hands to inspire confidence.